Wake Up with Finch and Kane is live on WICC 695.9, the voice of Connecticut.
Good morning and welcome to Wake Up, your radio home for truth, justice, and democracy. I'm Melissa Kane, your host. My friend and co-host Bill Finch is out this very lovely Sunday morning. Sounds like we've got weather coming, but not yet. And as Bill likes to say, this is your radio home if you're tired of our country being divided and manipulated, tired of the right-wing screamers of talk radio, tired of the science deniers, the billionaires, the bullies, and climate deniers flooding the zone, and tired of those who won't fight for you. Listener, if you, like me, are reeling from the events of the last 11 months of the consistent chipping away of our democratic institutions and intensifying of political violence and rhetoric, and if you feel that our government and parts of our country are almost unrecognizable right now, you are in the right place. Our civil rights, our voting rights, our reproductive rights, the right to free and fair elections, independent media, academic freedom have been under threat. It's not a drill. We've got to be standing for what's right and for the rule of law. And it looks like we are. That's the good news. What a week. Dare I say it, after Tuesday's election, I am feeling a little bit of hope. I woke up Wednesday to a text from my daughter, and it said, "Wow, I haven't woken up feeling this hopeful about the country in a long time." And she's 23, and that made me feel good. Something good has happened. Americans speak with their votes, and they spoke in California, in Virginia, in New Jersey, in Maine, in New York, and in Connecticut. And they even wanted to in Kentucky, where there weren't any elections. And what they said over and over again is, this is not what we want for America. We want something better. It's a good trend, and it bodes well for the 2026 election. And in order to move forward, we've got to stay informed, and that's why I love this show. Every Sunday, we feature nutmeggers who are walking the walk, fighting for our democratic institutions and norms, and helping us understand what lies ahead in our country and what we need to do to prepare for a good solution for our country and our state. This morning is no exception. I have two amazing Connecticut leaders, two women. Our Lieutenant Governor Susan Bisewitz will be joining us later in the show. And I am so excited to have sitting next to me in studio my friend, State Senator Cece Maher. Cece is currently serving in her second term representing Connecticut's 26th district. I'll let her tell you what they cover so I can get to her. But she is Deputy President pro tempore, not sure what that means, of the Senate. And she is the chair of both the Children's and Internships Committees, as well as the vice chair of the Human Services Committee. But Cece, who grew up in and has pretty much spent her adult life working for good in and around the 26th district, has always been an advocate for children and families, from working as a licensed social worker with at-risk children and youth, to leading local nonprofits like Horizons National Student Enrichment Program, which brings educational opportunities to otherwise underserved students, to Person to Person, where she helped grow the agency to be able to provide food for more than 1 million meals per year to people in need in towns in lower Fairfield County. And I got to say, at a time when there are a lot of people hurting and in need because of access to food, has been turned into a political weapon, Cece is someone you want on the front lines. You want her fighting for what's right. Good morning, Cece.
Good morning, Melissa.
I keep thinking about the fact that this administration is so very cruel. And every time I look with you and every time I look at you and every time I've talked with you, I think about your background and what you do as being about keeping people safe, keeping families safe. What do you think about what's going on? How do you fight it?
Well, it's incredible cruelty to think that we have 42 million Americans who need food. And in Connecticut alone, 360,000 people who rely on SNAP benefits.
That's incredible.
That's elderly, children, mothers who are already forgoing meals so their children can eat. And now how do they move forward? I'm so grateful to Governor Lamont for having authorized the SNAP benefit payments. And they landed on people's cards yesterday.
That's wonderful. And for those of you who don't know, this was announced yesterday. Cece, if you can just tell us in detail what this administration has done.
So basically, the Lamont administration,
yes,
has on Friday announced that they were going to cover all the SNAP benefits. We expected that was going to be 65% covered by the federal,
yeah,
government and 35% by Connecticut. But in fact, we have covered 100% of SNAP benefits. That's $72 million with the expectation,
right,
that we will have to, the federal government will have to
right now
release
that money's
the funds
being held up in the Supreme Court because the Trump administration appealed an order to feed people to the Supreme Court, and they said, sure, we'll put a hold on that. That's stunning to me. You know what? I want to talk about a lot with you, Cece. I want to talk about the elections this week. I want to talk about the special session coming up. But we have to take a quick break, and I hope it's quick, and we will be right back with Senator Cece Maher. I'm Melissa Kane. This is WICC, the voice of Connecticut.
Talking about what matters to you this morning. Wake up with Finch and Kane. WICC 695.9, the voice of Connecticut.
We're back. I'm Melissa Kane. Bill Finch is out this week, but we are so excited to be talking this morning with Senator Cece Maher, who works both in the legislature and wherever she goes to ensure the health and safety and civil liberties of the citizens, the families of Connecticut. Cece, let's start with the good. The elections in Connecticut. Let's focus on Fairfield County. Wow, some pretty important flips.
We had a terrific week. On Tuesday, Kevin Christie was,
know him well,
after 12 years of a Republican leadership in a Democratic town, we now have a truly terrific, smart, intelligent, dedicated person who is going to be running Westport. In Wilton, interestingly, we swept every single seat. The Democrats
wasn't expected.
We hoped, and we do have a slight majority of about 1,000 people, but nonetheless, clearly people walked across the aisle to vote for Democrats. And in New Canaan, for the very first time, they took every single seat.
Incredible.
It is incredible.
What does it say to you?
It says a bunch of different things. I think all politics are local, but I do think that the national scene has impacted our local politics. But also looking at New Canaan and Wilton and Westport, really, we are not looking at, with no offense to my generation, we're not looking at primarily 70-year-olds. We're looking at younger candidates, and that's who is elected. And of course, in Wilton, it was a range. But nonetheless, we've had more younger people stand up and say, I want to run. And I do think an important point about this is that people say, oh, it's just now the Trump effect. But in fact, it goes back to 2016.
Sure.
Because that's when I started to get involved. So we're looking at close to a 10-year run of people.
So people have been building their power,
correct,
building their voice, building their argument.
Exactly.
Wish it didn't take so long.
I know.
But you're right. And you said something to me earlier. You know, the people, certainly in Westport. And let me just say that, Senator Maher, your 26th district is, Weston, Westport, Wilton, Reading, and parts of Ridgefield, Darien, New Canaan, and Stamford. Am I
correct.
Right? Okay, I got it right. And we were talking about the Westport election and saying that, as you mentioned, Kevin Christie, people gravitated towards the honest voice.
Yes, 100%.
Yeah.
They want people that they can trust, that when their elected leaders speak, that they're truly speaking from a place of honesty and not just spinning a political story.
Yeah, that's important. So let's get to politics. You know, housing is something that's very important to you. And we've got this special session coming up that I know is looming large. I think it starts in the House on Wednesday and the Senate on Thursday. And I know there are a lot of issues that people are focused on. Probably almost number one is the a compromise housing bill. You represent, as I just mentioned, a very diverse district, from very urban to extremely rural. How do you address everyone's concerns, and what are you thinking?
Well, I think really what this comes down to is, ultimately, I am always thinking of my towns, but as a state senator, I'm thinking about the state.
Okay.
And when I look at housing, I see it as an economic driver that will bring in business and will reduce people's taxes, because we have a greater tax base from the business community. And when Connecticut Business Industry Association, CBIA, said housing is the most important economic driver behind the growth of Connecticut, while thinking about my towns, I also thought about what's best for the state, which is why I voted for the first housing bill. Now, it's really important to note that 85% of that first bill is what's going to be presented this week.
What isn't? What's changed?
So what's changed is the fair share component, which caused a great deal of consternation amongst people, has been removed and replaced with a housing growth plan.
What does that actually mean?
Well, it's an interesting concept on the housing growth plan. And basically what it does is sets up a housing development entity so that that entity can work with towns and also work with the Council of Governments, known as COGS,
yep,
to create a housing growth plan either within a town or within a municipality.
So I know a lot of people in smaller towns were very concerned about losing control. Is this a mechanism for regaining some of that control, or what is why is it there?
Well, it's there because if you work with, you develop a housing plan, a housing growth plan, and then you become, and it can be around either the housing growth plan, a work, live, and ride area, or signing on to an agreement with a municipal development authority. So any of those three things, if you choose to participate, they have, and then create meaningful steps to actually put the housing in place.
Okay.
Then you
there are meaningful changes.
So then you become eligible for new state monies.
Okay.
Okay, through grants, bonding, or reduced rate loans, which is really important. So what this bill does is puts in more carrots and takes away some sticks.
Do you think all of your towns will feel comfortable with it?
I think they will be much more comfortable with it. One of the biggest voices against the bill was Rudy Marconi up in Ridgefield. And he has been sitting at the table with the COGS and the Connecticut Council on Municipalities. So he has been is advocating for this bill. And I think Rudy has a large voice within the COG.
And do you feel it has a good chance of being passed in this session?
I do, because even the Senate minority leader, Vin Candeloria, has come out and said that it has some support.
Some merit and some support. Let's talk a little more broadly about what's coming up in this special session. What are the issues that are your, other than obviously the housing bill, that you are very focused on right now?
Well, for me, straight up, it's the Children's Behavioral Health Bill, which is super important. And two key takeaways on that. And one is that we are going to be looking at how do we do the intensive in-home child and adolescent psychiatric services called ICAPS. Okay. How we're going to do a study on that so that we can see if we can get federal support from the for this, so that we can expand it across the state, because that is a really needed service.
It sounds important, especially as we're losing federal funding. We'll talk a little bit more about that later.
But the second piece of my bill that's going is increasing the insurance support for autism services from 21 to 26. Because while you can stay under your parents' insurance until 26, you don't get the services.
And you need those wraparound services.
Right.
Absolutely.
So.
Wow. I bet there are a lot of families who are very, very happy that you're working so diligently on this. Be interesting to see what happens. I know that there is, you and I talked a little earlier, that there is a bill up for or an act to enact legislation establishing procedures governing law enforcement detentions and arrests on courthouse grounds prohibiting the use of masks or other facial coverings. We're obviously talking about ICE.
Correct. And also what this bill does is looks at the fact that parking lots are contiguous to the courts and extends that into parking lots.
Okay. We got to extend those protections as far as we can.
Yes, absolutely. We've seen some pretty horrific things happening.
And you've seen them in your communities.
We've seen them in Stamford, and certainly we've seen them in other parts of the state. And it's horrifying.
It brings me to something we've been tackling as a country and certainly as a state, the growth of political violence. And I think about what the sort of fatwa out against Corey Paris after he spoke out about ICE a couple of months ago. And a few weeks ago, there was an issue in, around Middletown having to do with a threat to Matt Lesser, your colleague in the Senate. And I'd love for you to talk with us a little bit about your thoughts about this sort of intensifying rhetoric. What is your responsibility as an elected leader, and what is our responsibility as an advocacy movement to tone this down? Because it's terrible.
It is terrible, and unfortunately, it is something that is very hard to put back in the bottle once it starts. But what we saw with Corey was an external social media entity that went after him and doubled down and expanded what he did, which was nothing wrong.
Well, just to be clear, they took what he said and they turned it upside down. What they claimed he said, he didn't.
Exactly.
And that's the danger. That's misinformation. That's actually disinformation, I guess.
Right.
Yeah.
And yet, I would like to make a point that what we're seeing in Chicago right now, they are essentially doing what Corey had just warned people that ICE was in the area.
That's right.
That was all he did. And in Chicago, we're seeing that the mothers are out doing that, making sure that people are safe. But to go back to Matt Lesser, that was a more direct, more
specific
one-to-one situation, even more frightening.
Yeah.
And I think this is part where community comes in. We need to be protecting each other and also keep our eyes open and our ears open to make sure that we're sharing information.
And luckily, we have extreme risk protection orders laws in place, which mean a lot to me, and that we were able to use that legislation to take weapons and ammunition away from the gentleman who made these threats to Senator Lesser and others as well. Look, we're lucky to be in this state, but we're always, I think, one minute away from something very dangerous happening.
And we've seen that in other states. We've seen that with people being killed for their values.
Cece, I want you to hang on because we have an exciting guest for our next segment, but I know you're going to be here with us through it all. We're going to have to stop for a little news. You are listening to Wake Up on WICC. I'm Melissa Kane, and we'll be back with our guests, Cece Meyer and Lieutenant Governor Susan Bisowitz.
Don't worry if you slept in. You're just in time for Wake Up with Finch and Kane. Now, on the Voice of Connecticut, WICC 600 and 95.9.
Sadly, this morning, you are just waking up with Kane. Bill Finch is not here, but we have been having a great morning. We've been talking this morning with State Senator Cece Meyer, and we are now honored to have on the line with us Lieutenant Governor Susan Bisowitz. Good morning, Lieutenant Governor.
Good morning, Melissa. Thank you so much for having me.
I am so thrilled that you're here. Before we get started with anything, very exciting news and congratulations on your announcement with the governor that you're going to run together for a third term. How lucky are we?
I feel lucky to be able to work alongside Ned Lamont, hopefully for a third term, but we did both of us file our papers to run for governor and lieutenant governor respectively, and we are a team, and that happened Friday afternoon, and over the course of the next week we will be making a more formal announcement, but we did file our papers Friday afternoon.
Very, very exciting. There's been a lot of exciting news this week. We have a lot to talk to you about, and not a lot of time, but I would love to start with what I believe could be called historic municipal elections in this state that I know you worked really hard on. I think 28 municipalities flipped blue. Is that right?
Yes, maybe in the 26 to 28 range. There are a couple of recounts, for instance, in North Canaan, where a Democrat won by 3 votes. So fingers crossed. But yeah,
I'm being optimistic.
You absolutely are, and I'll tell you that 2 years ago, we flipped 31 towns from red to blue. So think about
So this is not historic, but it's important.
It absolutely is, and I think it was a combination of two things, Melissa. It was, in municipal elections, and because you served on the Board of Selectmen in Westport.
That's right.
There are always local issues. So part of it was local issues, but a big part of it also was the fact that Democrats wanted to get out and vote and send a message to Donald Trump.
Yeah, across the country.
Across the country. And it was very exciting to see that happen. around the country as well. But just to me, some of the highlights that I'll mention were Bobby Sanchez being elected in New Britain as the state's, the town's first Hispanic mayor. That was really exciting. Also in Bristol, to have Ellen Zoppo win in Bristol against Jeff Caggiano. Caggiano, that was a really big win. And right next door in the town of Plymouth, that has been red for quite some time, Dave Sikorski won there. And, you know, it was also interesting because in every part of the state, this wasn't just one region. In eastern Connecticut, you had the towns of Putnam, Killingly, and Brooklyn flip. So, and Norwich. That was very exciting. And I'll say about Norwich that Ranjit Singh was elected, and he will be the first Sikh mayor. My friend, you served with him on State Central.
Yeah, fantastic. Lieutenant Governor, I could talk to you for a long time about the elections, but we don't have a lot of time, and I want to talk to you about some of the other big news out of Hartford. First of all, the administration, thank you, are going to cover the gap and fully fund SNAP benefits for the month of November. And I was talking about that with Senator Marr before. I mean, obviously, when the news came out, it was that 65% was being federally funded, right? Directed by, as directed by court order. And now that is being held up by the Supreme Court because the Trump administration, I can't even imagine the level of cruelty.
Continues to fight. And I'll just say that the governor and I just felt so strongly that we could not let the 360,000 people in our state, so literally one in 10 people in our state, depend upon SNAP or food. We were not going to let people go hungry. Same thing with WIC. You know, our WIC program, which helps pregnant moms and their babies and young children, when that ran out of money, we have stepped up to fund that. I mean, these are just, it just would be an unconscionable act of cruelty for the federal government not to fund it. And until they do, Connecticut is standing up for our families and making sure they get the food that they need.
Thank you. You know, as you talk about WIC, the special session starting this Wednesday, I guess in the Senate on Thursday, and I know there's one of the goals is creating a $500 million contingency fund for Connecticut, and I believe that includes CeCe. I've got CeCe here, too. Many different categories of that funding. WIC is one of them.
WIC is one of them. SNAP is certainly one of them. LIHEAP, which is the
LIHEAP.
Energy assistance, healthcare, school meals, Head Start, which is, and then Section 8 housing.
Sure. And so, Lieutenant Governor, if you can give me your thoughts on this amount, this fund, where you see it.
Yes.
And also, the other big thing that's, one of the other big things that's happening in the special session is a compromise in housing legislation. I would love to hear where you sit on these things.
Sure. So two things. Now it is extremely clear as we're going into month two of the federal shutdown with no end in sight that we can see. It was very clear that we had to put aside money that is in right now is in our state surplus and also in our rainy day fund. And I'll say we are better positioned than most other states, because we have a $4 billion rainy day fund. There are some states that would not be able to take surplus funds or rainy day funds.
Sure. And where did the number $500 million come from?
I think it's come from conversations with our state leaders and about what would be enough. And here's just so people know, SNAP costs $72 million a month. So this, you know, hopefully we're not going to have months of a federal shutdown. But you can see, even with our $4 billion in the rainy day fund, that's not going to cover all the federal programs. And that's why it's just so important for the federal government to get their act in gear and Congress and the Senate to come up with
and stop using these important funds as political weapons. The housing,
absolutely.
The housing legislation, if you
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So yesterday, the governor and I and a bipartisan group of mayors and legislative leaders stood to say we have a compromise that is based on the original bill, but takes care of some of the issues that local leaders had with the last version
yeah,
of the bill.
Senator Marr, we were talking about that earlier. Do you mm-hmm. do you feel that the governor is going to be comfortable with the bill?
He absolutely is, because he has worked with the leaders of the Council of Governments and both Republican and Democratic mayors, Republicans like Mark Loretti of Shelton, Mike Frieda of North Haven, and Democratic opponents like Rudy Marconi and Matt Hoey. And they were yeah. all there
at
speaking
the
in favor of the compromise. So
that's
I think
great.
It's great.
That's great. Well, I'm looking at the time, and Lieutenant Governor, I am so thankful that you were able to join us this morning, especially on this important week. And again, congratulations, and very exciting about your new campaign and perhaps your next term. And I thank you for joining us on Wake Up. Will you come back?
I would love to come back, because I was sorry I couldn't be on for two segments, but next time let's do
next
that.
Next time, and, you know what? Come to the studio. We'll have you on for the whole time. I would love that.
And you know what? In the meantime, Senator Cece Marr is a rock star,
she
and she'll
best.
Have it all under control.
Oh, no. We're having
thank
a blast
you, Lieutenant
here. Next
Governor.
Time you join us.
See you on
thank
Thursday.
Thank you for the incredibly impactful work you do for the citizens of Connecticut every single day. I'm Melissa Kane. This is Wake Up on WICC. We'll be back after these messages with more from Cece Marr.
It's time to Wake Up with Finch and Kane now on WICC 600 and 95.9, the voice of Connecticut.
Back. It's Melissa Kane. Bill is off this week, and I'm having a great time talking with State Senator Cece Marr, and we just heard from Lieutenant Governor Susan Bisowitz. I think it's the ladies' show this morning. You know, I'm thinking about the cruelty of what the Republicans in D.C. have done, shutting down the government. And it's really not what they're doing by basically trying to deny food, medical coverage, punishing public employees. These are not traditional American values. And Bill was saying that Tuesday was a vindication of our basic values, that the Democrats are the party that is out there holding on to basic American values. And Cece, that leads me to, what is next, right? What do you do? How do you in this state keep the momentum going, keep people safe at the same time, provide the funding that's needed so that our cities and our towns flourish, and with an eye towards 2026, try and make sure that we can, you know, keep this country from slipping further into this, you know, ridiculously cruel autocracy? I know that's a big question.
It's everyone. But interestingly, it's a question I hear from constituents. How do I help? How do I get involved? What do I do? I'm showing up at protests. I'm, you know, doing that kind of work. But my response to people is get involved locally at your local DTC. Yes, continue to protest. Yes, continue.
Show up at town halls.
Show up at town halls. Write your legislators. I mean, I know we have great ones in Connecticut, but nonetheless, we need to continue making our voices heard and reach out to people who may have voted for our current president and talk with them. See where they are.
Right.
Start building bridges.
Is this what you were thinking it would be? Do you feel that the country is going in the direction you want it to go in? It's a great question to ask people.
Yeah. And to then help build bridges, because we need to build community, because we have to be the bulwark against the cruelty.
So you in the Senate, We've talked about the short session. There's a lot, not the short session, I'm sorry, the special session, and there's a lot that's got to get done. I'm not sure how exactly it works, but if things don't get done, I know you've got, you know, how many days is the special session?
It's a one-day call.
Okay. So do you think that everything, you've got a sheet of paper here, which has, I think, 7 or 8 items on it?
Yeah.
How does that get done?
We stay as late as is needed, because once it's over,
24 hours in a day.
That's true, but we oftentimes go to 2 or 3 or 5 in the morning.
Yeah.
Certainly under the gun bill, we went till 5. And
thank you.
I know you know. And so that's what we do, because it's one day, and when that day is done, we can't do anything else.
So if something doesn't, if you don't get to something, is there an opportunity for that to be brought up in the session, the 2026 short session that starts February, I think, 4th?
February 7th, I think. 4th? Might be 4th.
The 4th.
Okay. I haven't looked yet. It does start that week. So, yes, there is always an opportunity to bring bills back up. We do that all the time. So, for me, the things that I'm most concerned about are continuing the work with Children's Behavioral Health. We haven't even talked about the Early Child Care Endowment Advisory Board that I sit on.
Let's talk about it.
Well, child care across Connecticut is an infrastructure issue. It is a workforce issue. It is a child development issue. It is the growing of our next generation, so that we can make sure that they're well taken care of, and their brain development, which happens 80% by age 3, is taken care of as well. So training providers, creating more spots, 20,000 more spots by 2035.
Is this a bill that you are proposing?
No, this is the Early Child Care Endowment, was put in place last year, and I'm one of the tri-chairs of the advisory board.
But what
where do
I
we
guess
go
what
from
I'm saying,
here?
Where do we go from here?
Is where we go from
more?
Here is making sure that the funds are well used, and supporting the Office of Early Childhood as they start rolling these.
Okay.
But
the legislation has been passed. You have the funding, and we're not at risk of losing the funding?
No. Well, we always have to fight for that. So I can't say categorically no.
But the other, not federal funding. This is monies
from
the state.
This is monies that have already been moved off budget. It was $300 million last session. So the other thing I'm looking at is the Department of Children and Families. I'm the chair of the Committee on Children. We have cognizance over the Department of Children and Families. We know that there was a horrific incident just recently announced in the paper, and we're going to be looking at that, working with DCF, looking at their systems, seeing where they need help. I think it's worth noting that since COVID, they've lost $150 million of their budget. What does that mean for workers? Do we have enough workers? What about systems? Those are all the things we'll be focused on.
And this is at a time when families are under a tremendous amount of pressure, financial pressure.
So much
stress.
Which
is always very, very, very tough to navigate.
Exactly.
Do you think as it stands now, we are providing the services that are needed, or is there a lot more needed?
Well, that's the work we're going to be doing in the next session.
Well, thank you for that.
Absolutely. We need to keep our children safe.
Are there other issues that you're looking forward to pursuing in the next session?
Always in environment,
In
energy and technology, which I also sit on, and then in the judiciary.
Yes.
So all of these are very important components of the work that we do up in Hartford.
Yeah. And it's a pretty well-oiled machine. I do have the opportunity to get up there, and I appreciate the amount of time that our part-time legislator, and I say that part-time with a wink, puts in to keep this state moving. You know, I'm looking at the time, and we're getting to the end of our session. I've loved speaking with you. And something that I ask all of our guests is, what, if anything, at this very full moment where things are, a lot of bad things are happening, but we've just witnessed something really good happening this week. What is giving you hope right now?
So when people say to me, how are you? I always say, I'm great. And then I say, but my brain explodes because of the world. And I think the thing that gives me hope is this building of community, is this building of connectivity between people who share the same values and are willing to speak out about them and come out and fight and advocate. So that advocacy, that engagement of people who normally would not be involved because, you know, everyone goes about their life. That gives me hope.
Yeah. As you're saying that, I'm picturing, you know, the No Kings rally that I was at in Westport. And what I have found very interesting, I've obviously been involved. I've been an advocate for many, many years and an activist. There are people out there that we have never seen before.
Exactly.
There are people out there saying, wait a minute, I don't come out for these things.
Well, that's true, because when we first started doing those this year, the No Kinks, I think April was the first one, we saw a lot of people like me, gray hair. Now we're seeing across gender, across age group, there are more and more and more people coming out. I think it was 7 million that we had this past No Kinks.
So even more.
It was phenomenal to see the breadth and depth of community that had come out for the No Kinks.
Right. And what builds from that, as the Lieutenant Governor was saying, we're seeing another generation of people running for office, people who are engaging. That is hopeful.
It is.
Well, you're giving me hope. Being able to talk to people like you, dedicated members of our legislature, gives me a really great deal of hope. We have just a couple seconds left. Is there anything that you want to shout out about that's coming up for you in the next little while? Any place we can find you? Anything you're doing?
Oh, my gosh. I'm on my way to the Veterans Day Parade in Stamford.
Oh, wonderful. So that's right. Veterans
honoring
Day.
Honoring our veterans.
Is Tuesday the 11th. Really glad you mentioned that. And we have a lot to be thankful for, the veterans of this country.
We certainly do. Yeah. And yeah. I look forward to walking in the rain to support them. Thank you so much for having me, and anytime.
You are always, always welcome. This has been great. I'm sad that I wasn't with my friend Bill sitting next to me. We could have really had a lot of fun this morning, but he will be back, and we will have our show. Shows on next Sunday, same time, same place. A huge, huge thank you to my guests this morning, State Senator Cece Maher and Lieutenant Governor Susan Bisewitz, who both of them are always fighting the good fight. And a huge thank you to our producer, Paul Goodman, and to Connoisseur Media, and to WICC, the voice of Connecticut. And to all of you, our listeners, for waking up with us. I'm Melissa Kane, and I will be back next week with my partner in crime, Bill Finch, right here, 10 a.m., Sunday morning, WICC. Have a wonderful day. Stay engaged and stay strong.